Old Testament lesson this morning is from the first chapter of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1. Hopefully you had a chance during the meditation to read the first 25 verses. We'll continue now in verse 26. I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, so you can follow along on page 1 of your pew Bible. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Bless, O Lord, the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, that they might be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Stories over the course of human history often stick with us when they have memorable beginnings. Take, for example, this line, "Once upon a time." There's even been made a show with that as a title. Or perhaps this one, "It was a dark and stormy night." Or perhaps the most distinctive, "It was the best of times, it was the worst of times." Stories that have been written over time that captivate us often have intriguing entry lines. In our home, we are reading the Harry Potter series, and you, Audrey and Ian, especially look forward every night to hearing more about the adventures of Harry and his friends in the world of witchcraft and wizardry. But I sometimes wonder if even as brilliant as these stories are, if they'll be around in, say, I don't know, a couple thousand years, maybe, like Homer's Iliad or Odyssey or Beowulf, maybe. But more likely, they will eventually become background noise in the great literary universe, joining in the chorus of echo future books about coming of age and good versus evil. So what would you say about a book or a collection of books that has stood the test of time and continues to be a bestseller and the most read book of all time? What does it take for a book that has been around for a couple of millennia in one form or another to consistently be the most widely read book? What has made the Bible, the book, cherished for countless generations? Well, those are the questions I have as I embark on our collective study of the story, God's story. For those of you who may not know, and I've said at the beginning, if you came in after the announcements, we are studying together the scriptures through a curriculum called The Story from now until May. Each week, the sermons focus on a theme from those chapters, so today we're going to begin where we should, in the beginning. Hopefully, you refresh your memory during that time of reading the very beginning. I feel it necessary to point out that people of faith have differed on their understanding of how creation happened, how long it took, whether or not evolution was involved, and so forth. Time will not permit me to explore all these theories, but suffice it to say that I believe God created everything. It may have taken what we would call eons for life forms maybe to reach their present form, or for some this really becomes problematic when it comes to humans, but nevertheless, I believe good stories often leave room for interpretation and mystery. The Bible is the best at that. There are a few things as Christians we can affirm. God designed everything, and through God's power, the universe and the world and all life came into being, and God is working through creation until the very end. Some would say the crowning achievement is what we just read about, humankind. Now, I don't want you to get too hung up on language. You'll notice a differentiation in the New Revised Standard, which is humankind. The New International Version, which the story curriculum is based upon, says mankind. The word in human in Hebrew is Adam, which basically means earth, ground, soil. That's because humankind was created from elements. We know that. It was an element before it was a proper name. But the first creation story has the simultaneous creation of male and female. I think that's interesting. One possibility is that the Creator God, to make humankind in God's image, that this creation would need to have the power to create or procreate. The use of the plural, let them have dominion over the fish, etc., is indication that God intended from the beginning that a human could not exist without another. This is further explained later in the alternative creation narrative when God said it is not good for man to be alone. Interesting there here, the word good is the same at the refrain of each end of each day's creation. It was, God saw that it was good. And this brings me to another point. The accounts of creation differ in chapter 1 and 2. This has been troubling to some who try in vain to harmonize these accounts and say they're basically the same thing. I encourage you instead to struggle with it. But don't let it wreck your faith in God as the Creator. Remember, all stories in Scripture are inspired by God, but are written by humans. In the case of Genesis, the account is less a chronological timeline and more of humans trying to put in order events and subsequent evolutions, perhaps, or evolvements that defy human language and experience. In other words, you can be a faithful Christian and not take everything as literal or factual reporting. What is evident is that God created, and God created for us to have community. God, in God's essence, is community. Triune, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God, out of desire, not necessity, created a world and all living things to have a relationship with. God, out of perfect love, created a world with order and beauty, with sufficiency and endless splendor. But then, as all good stories go, and I think which they derive from Genesis and other places in Scripture, something went wrong. It was the best of times, but it was the worst of times too. Adam and Eve, because God's love was not coercive, had the power to choose, and they chose poorly, to quote a movie. For reasons we cannot fathom, yet unfortunately are destined to repeat, humankind chose to search for meaning apart from God. And that's when sin enters the story. When we reflect on human events, tragedies like 9/11, and we ask, why did God let that happen? I believe God's response is, because I made humankind to be free. Could God have prevented the planes from crashing? Yes. Could God have prevented Adam and Eve from sinning? Well, maybe yes. Would that have deprived humans their freedom to choose? Yes. Freedom comes with a cost. It cost Adam and Eve their innocence. It cost our nation our sense of security. And for God to restore us to the beauty of the intention of creation, it cost God, God's only Son. The rest of the story is about God calling humans back to that community that they had abandoned. But time and again, they and we are convinced that something other than God will satisfy, will give us more predictable, manageable order, more of material, emotional benefits. We don't believe that God really wants an abundant life for us, so we keep going our own way, which invariably leads to hardship and pain and suffering. That's what we read about in Genesis, all the way up to the flood and beyond. In our Presbyterian tradition, we ascribe to John Calvin's doctrine of total depravity, and those of you who are not familiar with it, it basically is this idea that all the things we do, even if they're very, very well-intended, are always kind of laced with a bit of corruption and never purely, perfectly good. It is only by God's grace through Jesus Christ that we can and will do anything that is really and fully good. I believe this doctrine captures the reality of what we have become after the fall, and yet it was not what God intended in the beginning. And I think understanding what God intended in the beginning helps us to accept people as God created them. In the beginning, God created a beautiful world. And whereas God had the power to make everything go smoothly, this would have deprived humans of the one thing that makes them unique in God's image, freedom. The freedom God had to choose to create, to choose to form relationships with people, to send his son to die, to claim us in the resurrection. This freedom was what God wanted us to share in. Limited, to be sure, because of our finitude, we are not God, yet wondrous when lived in fellowship with God. In the moment that Adam and Eve lost their innocence, they realized they were naked and hid themselves from one another and God. We all try to hide who we truly are because we don't want others to see what we're ashamed of. But as God made fig covering for Adam and Eve, God sees us and covers our shame in the person of Jesus Christ. God tells each of us that God made us very good. You are made very good. And God offers us a way back to goodness by his light that overcomes darkness. What we saw after 9/11 and what Reverend Prevery prayed about this morning was people choosing to use their freedom for love and not hate in response to 9/11. It was what God intended in the beginning. It was what we saw in those moments, a renewed realization that God created the world to be good, that reclaiming the purpose of creation is not about continuing in the ways of destruction, but to see every person as an Adam, every life cherished by God, made for community with the Creator. It may take a lifetime for us to believe it. Some of us may never. But I believe God is inspiring each of us to remember that in the beginning, God made this world to be good. God has a passion for you to know that goodness, to live that goodness. God will always be with us to the end. So our story, the story, begins. Treasure the story of Scripture. See in your life the stories of Scripture replayed, inspired by the Creator and the Redeemer and the Sustainer who has entrusted to us the greatest story ever written. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.